Message today is going to be called Approaching Jesus. And we're going to be looking at different ways that people approach Jesus. And to show you that, you know, there really isn't any specific way in which to do it. But I just want to bring that stuff up to you here today. So let's just begin with a word of prayer. Father, it is awesome to be able to use your word and have your word for the good of spreading the gospel. And sometimes even knowing how we should come before you. I just thank you that you have shared all of this and that we get to reshare it and to reread it and to rehear it and to know that it is your word and it's something that we can latch on to and learn from and have it become part of us. Just thank you for this and just let your blessings shower us. Let the Holy Spirit work amongst us. And to know that we're there because of you. And this we pray. Amen. So yeah, approaching Jesus. Now, I'm assuming every one of you have approached Jesus. And if you haven't, maybe what we need to do is, you know, to have a time where we do have this, where you can approach Jesus. But what's important is it's between you and Jesus. You know, it's not a show. It's not something that you have to do in front of somebody. You can do it in your own home, and you can do it anywhere. So you're going to see as we're looking at some scripture here that as people approach Jesus for various reasons, they did it in different ways. All right. So that's what I just really want to concentrate on today. And then, so the first scripture verse we have is where Jesus is beginning his ministry, and he's about to call his disciples. So he's along the shoreline, and as the crowds are getting larger, it's hard for them to be able to hear Jesus. So if you're on the water, your voice seems to travel much farther. Even God knows this sort of thing. So he saw a couple boats off on the side. One of them happens to be Simon. So Simon says, yeah, you can use my boat, you know, to get out there. And then Jesus does this thing at the end of when he's doing his talking to the crowd, as he tells Simon to throw his nets out. All right, so we're going to be right at that point there. So in Luke 5, 8 through 11, it says, when Simon Peter saw this, and what he saw was that when he'd been fishing all night long, didn't catch one fish, and he didn't really want to go out and to go fishing again because there's no fish out there today. They're just not around. But he said, I'll do it because you asked me to. And he went out in the deep waters, cast out the ship, and both boats were filled with fish. Both, not just the one. And it's just amazing the haul that came in. When Peter gets to shore, right, and there's Jesus there, look what he does. And he says, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' feet and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all of his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken, and so were James, John, and the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. And it's just amazing. So when Peter approached Jesus, look at his heart when he literally is comparing himself to God. Peter's not a very, upright person. At least in his own minds, he feels that he is a very sinful person and that he doesn't even deserve to be in the presence of God. And here he is bowing before him. I can just see him kind of like head down and all of that. And Jesus says, don't be afraid. So sometimes when we approach Jesus, right, we don't feel as though we should be able to approach him because of our sinful nature. But I want you to know that Jesus wants you to approach. In whatever condition that you're at. Because he then, you know, take you by the hand, lift you up, and you just see that whole picture, you know, and even give the hug that Jesus, I'm sure, would give just to reassure Peter that he is loved and that he is someone that God wants to use, you know, to, for His ministry and to be able to be an effective witness for Him. And it's pretty nice to be able to see that story, because there's times where we ourselves, you know, fall short. Really feel as though we fall short. But you can approach God, right? In that state. And it's okay to be able to do that. Or maybe we're in a state like this one here, where there's an individual that's, in this case, blind. And he is calling out to Jesus, because he hears that he's traveling around, and you've heard stories about him, and you think in your mind that this is the only chance that I'm ever going to be able to have to meet up with this guy, Jesus. So you're approaching him with the aspect of, I'm never going to have this opportunity again. So let's look at this one here. In Luke 18, 38 through 40, it says, "And he called out, 'Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me.' And those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.'" Right? This is his only chance he's going to have. And he's not going to let those people around him make the decision that he's going to miss out on that chance. So his approach is pretty bold, and he comes through, because if he doesn't reach out to him now, then he knows that there's going to be nothing more that can be done. So Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. If you feel that you've never had that opportunity in which to do it, and there's a moment in your life, right, where all of a sudden God is calling you, or He's walking by, and you want to bring yourself before Him, and you think it's the only chance that you have, then you know what I say? I say, go for it. This man had no idea what was going to be able to come from him. He's heard of healings and stuff like that. But I'm sure it's limited to what he could hear, because he's a blind individual. He's a beggar. He's only going to hear what people are passing by and stuff. He's kind of like, I don't say an annoyance to the people, but a beggar is a beggar, right? They're always there looking for handouts, looking for things to go. And so there's not much work that he can do. He's not much that he can offer. So who really spends time with an individual like that? But he hears of what needs to be done. And we can see, so we've got one individual that's kind of been exposed of his sin. Another one, he has one chance. And then we have another situation here where Jesus has just come down off this mountain with his transfiguration stuff. Simon, James, and John were there with him. And then there's this commotion of people that are there, because the other disciples have been doing some healings. But there was a boy that was demon-possessed that would throw him around and put him in fits all of his life. Nothing could happen. He says, let's go to this Luke 9, 37 through 43. And it says, "The next day when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him. A man in the crowd called out, 'Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only child.' A spirit seizes him, and he suddenly screams. It throws him into the convulsions so that he foams at the mouth. It scarcely ever leaves him, and is destroying him. I begged your disciples to drive him out, but they could not." At this point here, I don't think he sees Jesus as a last chance, last opportunity, like the blind man does. I think he sees him as an opportunity. He's like, what have I got to lose? Why not just go to this Jesus guy? Because obviously the disciples can't do it. Let's go to his master and let's just see if he can do something. Even with doubt, this man comes to Jesus and speaks up. because of, you know, obviously the love for his son. But he comes to him, and it's like, why not try the master? You know, if the disciples can't do it, why not? And then Jesus replies and says, oh, unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I stay with you and put up with you? Bring your son here. Even while the boy was coming, the demon threw himself to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the evil spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the greatness of God. Sometimes we do that. We try, well, why not? It's like I remember going when I was at college. There's my friend Dave. He was brought up Pentecostal, and I was brought up Catholic. Kind of like, I don't say opposites, but I mean, we both served the Lord, but really worship completely different. That was my first experience of a Pentecostal service, and I tell you, I was stiffer than a board. And when people were coming forward, you know, down and, you know, things laid, hands were being laid on, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what did I get myself into? And I remember just standing there, and somebody, the guy behind me, put his hand on my shoulder. I tell you, every muscle flexed. You know, I just stood there and wasn't going to look back to see who he was or anything. And it's like, I was not expecting that, nor did I really want that. Right? But it was kind of nice. But I was like one of those things, I'll try that and see what it was like, you know? And I got to see a different form of worship. I didn't really understand it. But it was really different that came through it. And it's like there is times where we approach God when we don't know whether we should approach God or you know, whether he's really going to do anything. So it's like, why not try it? Even though there's doubt in there and unsurety of what's going to happen, well, we can look at that. But at least you're approaching Jesus and all the way down through there. How about this here? Sometimes I know nobody likes to be the individual that, you know, that comes forward to the altar, you know, and asks for prayer. But if somebody comes next to you and says, hey, I'm going to go, you want to go with me? Right? You go as a team, a group, and stuff like that. Well, there's a scripture where there's groups of people that will come before Jesus, right? There's a time where there was 10 lepers that came before him. Oh, I'm sorry, this time, oh, wait, that's coming. Let me go, I'll jump to that one anyhow. Well, let's go to Luke 17, 12 through 16. And scripture reads this. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. Right? There wasn't one, but there was 10. They all came together. So can you imagine getting this thing together? And it's like, hey, you know, we're outcasts. We can't really associate with people. We can't come close to people. But maybe we can get our voices together. And knowing that Jesus is going to be in the area, maybe we can stand around and together we can shout out as a team. And maybe he'll be able to hear us. But if there's just one of us and we go one at a time, well, maybe that's not going to work. But you feel more confident sometimes going with another partner. And he says, when he saw them, he said, go. Oh, they stood at a distance, called out in a loud voice, Master, or Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go, show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Right? So again, he's, you know, this one here wasn't even a Jew, full-blooded Jew. He was half Jew, basically. But as a group of people, it's okay to approach Jesus as a group. Don't think that you have to do it individually. Now you have to make an individual choice, and don't make that, you know, the choice to accept him because your friend's doing that. That's your choice. But to approach him, to find out who he is, all right? It's okay to do it as a friend. Maybe you have a really hard time facing Jesus. So you like to come in through the back door. Maybe you like to not be seen by anyone, and you just want to slip in through the crowd and be able to get there. Well, there was an individual here that this woman that had been bleeding for 12 years, right? In Matthew 9, 20 through 22, She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, if only I touch his cloak, I'll be healed. I don't want to have like an impersonal encounter with him. I just need to touch him and that will be enough. But I'm going to approach him in that sense. Right? Well, Jesus doesn't let that settle right there. Jesus turned around and saw her. He says, take heart, daughter. He said, your faith has healed you. And the moment was healed. And the woman was healed from that moment. We approach Jesus sometimes with our own character, with the baggage that we're carrying. And we can't approach Him always the same way. Right? We tend to go to churches where we tend to worship Jesus that works for us. Right? There's sometimes we like the holiness of the Catholic. Sometimes we like the charisma of all the Pentecostal stuff. And sometimes we're somewhere in between, you know, a mix or match of things. But it's okay. Because what we're doing is we're coming to Jesus. And that's really what the point is that we're doing that. And when we start to hear things that Jesus is around, that God's Spirit is moving, you know what that does? It brings other people. All right. So when we look at this one here, and there's a situation where... Oh, I know this. Let me go back to this one right here. In Luke 5, the reason I jump around all the time is because I get my slides together, then I rearrange my slides, and then I rearrange my slides again, and then I never know which way I've got them rearranged. And I look down there, and sometimes I jump the lines here, but this it doesn't really matter. Okay, good. So Luke 5:15, it says, yet the news about him spread all the more, so the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. Right? So just the word that other people are approaching, then it brings the masses. Right? And again, it wasn't that long ago that there was a tent meetings or revival meetings down in Kentucky or Tennessee, I don't remember now. And there was just hundreds of people that came for a long period of time. And they came because they heard that God was working in that spot. It's kind of neat. Now, there's other times, I'm going to come back to this one here in John 9. It's about a man that was born blind, and he's an adult now. It's funny, in this case here, he doesn't approach Jesus. Jesus approaches him. Because there's a big question about why was he born blind? Did his parents sin, or did he sin? It was always a belief of the Jews that if there was some... deformity with you is because there's some sin in you. The more deformity there is, the more sin there is. The less deformity you had, the more perfect you were, the closer you were to God and everything. Well, this guy here was born blind, so what's the deal with it? Well, Jesus says, you know, he says it's not that he was born blind for any sin, but that the glory of God can be shown. So Jesus heals him, you know, gets spit on the mud, and then puts the mud on your eyes and says, go wash. And the guy just does it, right? And he can see after he washes. It's amazing. So now the Pharisees come up and they want to find out what is this healing that's happened there and who did it. Well, there's this big thing that goes around, and basically he gets kicked out of the synagogue. Because the Pharisees, the leaders of the church, are so irate with him that because obviously it's Jesus that did the healing, but he didn't really know who it was, right? So after he's basically kicked out of the synagogue, Jesus reappears to him, and he's right here in verse 35 and 38 of that. It says Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. So sometimes the approach comes from God knocking on our door really hard. Right? We don't even know to approach God. But he comes to us sometimes. And so long as we have a receptive heart to that, right? There's great things that can happen. In this case here, a healing that had happened. And then we look at this one here. There's a rich person. So it doesn't really matter on your standing and stuff like this. And in this case here, it's about Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus is a very wealthy individual, but he's not looked upon very well because he's a tax collector. And all he wants to do is not encounter Jesus, but just see him from a distance. Right? So as we read the scripture, we're looking at that. Jesus, in Luke 19, verses 1 through 10, it says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. That's all he wanted to do, was just be able to see him. Other people have encountered him and really approached him that way, but this guy here, he's approaching from a distance, and he's going to keep his distance, but he's coming nonetheless. It may be that he can't have the gall or doesn't feel like he should at all come close to Jesus, but what he wants to do is just come part way there and be able to. Look what happens. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And all the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner, because he's a tax collector. All tax collectors are sinners. We know that. It's in Scripture. Right? But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Now that's a good story that we've got. It's like, sometimes when we come part way, Jesus comes the other half. You've heard the story of the prodigal son, right? Where the son finally comes back and doesn't feel as worthy and everything, but the father comes running to him even before he gets back to his land and stuff. Good example of what God does to us. There's others that approach too, for different reasons. In this case here, in Luke 11, 53 through 54, it says, when Jesus left there, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began to oppose him fiercely and to besiege him with questions, waiting to catch him in something he might say. So there's people that will approach Jesus to try to convict him of wrongdoing, to find a fault in Jesus. But they're approaching him nonetheless. Right? And it's important to us to realize that, is that people approach for different reasons. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus makes this plea to the people. And he says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus wants us to approach him. I want you to know that. That Jesus is not ever saying to anyone here, stay away from me. He is always knocking on your door. Right? And even to those inner chambers of your soul where you don't want him to be, he's knocking on those doors. He wants to be in with you and be connected with you in all ways. I put this verse in here in 1 Corinthians 3:11 because I want you to know that there is absolute truth within Scripture. We talked about truth last week. And it says here that for no one can lay any foundation other than one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. If you are trying to create your own God, if you're trying to create your own lifestyle, you're trying to create your own way through this world, right? You're going to falter. You're going to fall. There's no basis for that at all. There's only one foundation, and that is Jesus Christ. So we look at this, and I've named this title here, Approaching Jesus. But as I'm going through the Scripture, there is nothing consistent about approaching Jesus. I don't care how you approach Him. Just approach Him. He doesn't care how you approach Him. Just approach Him. So maybe what we need to do is change this title from approaching Jesus, phase that one out, and let's phase this one here in, believing Jesus. So I'm going to go through this scripture all over again. And we're going to look at, I'm going to bolded some of the stuff that we're in here. We look at this here, Simon Peter, look at the end result of approaching Jesus. Right? So they pulled their boats up on shore, they left everything and followed him. That's the result of approaching Jesus. Even when you are falling down, realizing that you're a sinner. Or we come over here where this blind man has only one chance in which to be able to reach out to Jesus. Look at the end result. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. And when all the people saw it, they also praised God. Let's look at the next one over here, where we have Jesus coming down and there's a son that is demon-possessed. Let's just give Jesus a try, right? The end result, and they were all amazed at the greatness of God. The whole crowd was. Because someone said, okay, I'm not sure what's going to happen, but let's at least approach him. We look at this here, the woman that was subjected to 12 years of bleeding wanted to silently just touch the hem of Jesus' cloak. And look at the end result. Her faith healed her. Right? And people were able to witness all of that. Look at this one over here where there is 10 men that went into with leprosy and went together as a group because they couldn't do it themselves. And the man that came back, right, threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Look at the end result that came from that. Now you're going to say only one did here, but the others got physically healed, but this one individual got spiritually healed as well. All right? So there's more to it than just, it's not just getting physically fixed. And we look at this one here where this individual that had been blind all of his life, and Jesus used him as an example. Look at the end result. The man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Right then and there. When you approach Jesus, right, with the right mind or the right side of people, this is what happens. The crowd of people came to hear him. Not everybody had a specific healing, but sometimes just to come and watch another individual get healed, that strengthens your faith in him. And the things that happen around in the group. We look at Zacchaeus. Look at the end result. Today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham, which means he is a son, a believer. Right? Because we look at this, not just your biological, genetic connection with Abraham, but if you believe, then you're a son of Abraham. You can look at Scripture and you'll find that. It says, "For the Son of Man came to seek to save what was lost." And it happened right here at this moment. Then we go to this scripture verse here where those people came to find fault with Jesus. What's the end result with that? What's bolded? Nothing. Nothing came out of it. There's no blessing that came out of that aspect. Absolutely none. These people that were looking to find a way to get rid of Jesus gained nothing. In fact, they lost more than whatever they little bit that they had. There's no blessing because there was no believing. You see, it's not just about approaching. It's what happens as you approach. And what you can take away from that. The gift that God has for you. It might be a healing. But it is always a moment where you can believe and worship God wholeheartedly with your heart. But with the wrong mindset, there's none of that. It won't happen, right? Jesus, those people came to Jesus for a reason, to seek out who He is and trust in Him. These Pharisees didn't do that. They just wanted to glorify themselves, and nothing came of it. Look at the words that Jesus used when He tries to call people in. And He says, you know, come to Me, right? He says, take My yoke upon you and learn from Me. Don't just stay where you are, but learn, grow, become a stronger believer, have the greater faith that God can give you and all this. Because then you will find rest for your souls. There are people that will just come to church because that's what they do. Right? Every Sunday, you set that time aside, you come to church. Right? And they do that. There's sometimes the crowds to see what other people do. But there's other times that people come to church because they truly want to encounter Jesus. And that encounter will happen. And that individual, or those individuals, or in this case, everyone here, right? Walks away out those doors being blessed beyond measure. Because that's what happens when you approach Jesus. And you know what's coming down through there. And you know that when we look at that and look at this verse again and realize in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, it says, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. When we approach Jesus Christ, knowing who He is, even unsure of who He is, but we've heard that He is God, that He is a salvation, He is our Savior. Salvation, the Salvator, how do you say that? The Savior of souls. And we need salvation. We can be in the pits, we can look at ourselves as being, God doesn't want me. Yeah, He does want you. We can be shy and say, oh, I don't know if I can really do it, but you go because you go with a crowd, or you go silently. It's okay. When you go to look for Jesus, you will find Him. Amen. And you will be blessed. Amen? Lord, I just thank You for Your word here today, and just thank You for being here with us now. Because we need You. For various reasons. Whether it's for prayer for ourselves, whether it's for prayer for others, we come before You. In whatever manner that we're capable of coming. And we worship You. We believe in You. And we just thank You for Your many blessings, Lord. And this we pray through Your Son, Jesus. Amen.